There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 737, October 3rd, 2017. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Sayonara to Sepang, and a big birthday booyah to Max, the man.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ferrari falling apart, Verstappen is the new machismo, and Renault making progress. We have another installment of Pegler's Perspective, and donations are accepted to keep this program on the air. Just click on the donation tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Doing very good, sir. I have a question for you and all the F1 Weekly Familia members. Whatever happened to the 50 words after every Grand Prix?
It fizzled away because people are tired.
Are they speechless because the season is so exciting?
Exactly. They are speechless. It is exciting, but it's not exciting for Arriva Bene.
Yes, sir. I think heads will be rolling pretty soon in Maranello. But let's talk a little bit about Colli. Numbers are 4, 9, and 70. Fourth consecutive pole at Sepang, ninth of the season, and number 70 in the racing and wrapping life of Lewis Carl Hamilton. Papa made a good choice of naming his kid after a famous sprinter. And you tell me what is happening in these last two races for Scuderia Ferrari.
They're completely falling apart. They're breaking under the pressure. And apparently, reliability is a disaster. I don't know, Nas. I mean, what is happening here? Kimi gave it his best shot, of course. Vettel had to take another one of these stupid penalties. Starts from the back of the grid. He has no luck. Especially as the championship is winding down. This is where these penalties really hurt an individual driver when it's the team that's failing them. And like you said, I think heads are going to roll. Macchione must be freaking out to watch another championship just slip away.
And I have to say, you know, with Lewis and Mercedes being so dominant, what is happening to Sebastian World Championship hopes right now? I thought something like that will happen to Lewis. Sometimes, you know, you're the ball, sometimes you're the Louisville slugger. And right now, he's just looking pretty good. He's already got the Hank Aaron number on his car, so all of that is good for him. But it's not over for Seb, I have to say. And talking of Mr. Kimi Raikkonen, he was so close to LCH that one has to believe that Seb had a very good shot at claiming the pole. So something is not cooking properly in the Scuderia Cucina. Both cars out within seconds of the start of the last Grand Prix in Singapore, and more issues for their numero uno. For Seb, it was a change for the worse. Team did a great job of doing an engine change. Ferrari season is beginning to look like a new Italian opera, The Barber of Sepang.
Absolutely. I don't know what's going on, but obviously there's some, let's put it this way, spaghetti culture getting in the way.
Yeah, I was trying not to say that. That's why I this time used the Cucina reference. But thanks for bringing it up. Niki Lauda would be proud of you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Niki, and thank you, everyone. But I'm telling you, this was a great race for me because finally my little Renault was the one to watch.
Well, actually, the watch was that supplied the engine, Tag Heuer.
Yes, well, tag this, my friend.
Exactly. And birthday boy Max, he is now 20, again outqualified his Aussie teammate for a Red Bull row 2. Bottas and Ocon were on row 3. Row 4 was Stoffel Vandoorne and his McLaren and Nico Hülkenberg. Completing the top 10 was Sergio Perez, making both Force India cars in the top 10. Apparently, and I was surprised to hear, surprised, but then again not surprised, reports are that Senor Alonso behind the scene is already evaluating the power potential of next year's package with the Renault engine before he signs on the dotted line. I just don't see him going anywhere but staying with McLaren Renault. And it will be quite a scene in 2018 if we can see Nando in a Renault-powered car with Godfather Flavio Briatore in the pits and on the team radio singing, "Speak softly, love, and hold me warm against your third championship. It's been a long, long time." And I hope I am wrong, but I have a feeling his third championship and perhaps Hülkenberg's first Grand Prix win may not happen in our lifetime. What say you?
It's very possible, but certainly the outcome of the Malaysian Grand Prix has to boost Fernando's spirits about choosing the Renault package.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Carlos Sainz Jr., who is leading on a jet plane to Renault at the end of the season, was 14th on the grid with the time. This was interesting. His time was 1:32.402. And his new teammate, at least for the next two races, Monsieur Pierre Gasly, was next on the grid with a time of 1:32.558, basically making Kvyat's seat at Toro Rosso the Bismarck of Grand Prix racing, a sitting duck. Now, Johnny Herbert did the post-quali interviews. Did you watch that, sir?
I did.
It was very funny. He asked both Kimi and Max who will pass Lewis on the long run to the first corner. And Max said he did not want to be sandwiched. And Kimi's response was, "I don't want to be hit." And these two have played motorsports magnet before. And Kimi can add his fellow Finn Bottas to that group also.
Absolutely. And we do love Johnny Herbert here at F1Weekly.com.
Yeah, do you remember us meeting him and having a chat with him at Laguna Seca many years ago?
Of course. I had to run after him to catch him.
Yes, he went sailed past us, and I remember talking about Flavio Briatore also and his days as a teammate to Michael Schumacher.
Bravo, Fisico. So, yes, what a glorious Grand Prix. For me, the best. Lap 4, the end of lap 3, technically. But, boy, was that exciting or what?
Yeah, the race was a farewell to KL, and we can talk on that later. Yeah, the start was fantastic, and I mean, Max meant business. But I have to say, you know, in just two races in Southeast Asia, the prancing horse is looking like a wounded animal in more than one way. The two-horse race for the 2017 World Championship could not have a more contrasting fortune than the grid for the final Malaysian Grand Prix. LCH on pole was, this was interesting comment from Niki Lauda, that the pole was due to a Lewis lap, not the car, and Seb was starting dead last, and firework was expected, and Kimi did not even make it to the grid of the start, which I think really helped Max Verstappen survive the opening lap and then take the lead from Lewis Hamilton. Well, a lot of people are talking about his first win in Spain, you know, gifted because two Mercedes took out each other, but this was a very dominating performance from downtown. What do you think?
No, it was very dominant. I mean, not only did Verstappen pass Lewis Hamilton, a few laps later, Ricciardo passed the second Mercedes.
Yes, and man, the second Mercedes, we'll talk on Bottas a little bit. But after all these years in Formula One, Max is no longer a teenager. The 20-year-plus-one-day-old Mr. Verstappen was definitely in a league and lap of his own at Sepang. He was a rolling stone. You make a grown man cry. And Jos, the boss, was very emotional, and so was Max's sister. And it's good to see the Verstappen family. They've gone through a lot, courtesy of Jos, and I don't want to get into details here. But good to see them enjoy such a great day.
Absolutely, and I was just stunned on first, reliability, and second, the pace of the Renault package.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much talk of Ferrari, and of course, they had a very good performance from Seb Brook, starting from the back. But apparently, Lewis had some problem with his, you know, this is a thing, you know, with this harvesting. I mean, why don't they just call these cars International Harvesters, you know, from the big trucking company of days gone by. But, you know, what I did like about Max, no mistake, very command performance. And the best part was in the cool-down room after the race, he did not play a corporate crony and ask for, oh, I need my Red Bull, it gives me wings. He was lusting for some sugary drink. And I'll tell you, based on one time experience there in Sepang, watching the race in the heat and humidity of Sepang circuit is a feat in itself. I cannot believe racing drivers in their fireproof overalls going on and on for more than 90 minutes. But here I have to say, whether it was Sepang or Suzuka, whatever the conditions, Michael Schumacher never broke a sweat, as they always say on, you know, David Hobbs and Steve Mesche. So that's very impressive. And look at how Max was.
Yes, it was very impressive, I have to admit. And certainly it would have been a better race if we had Kimi and Seb at the front. But I think Red Bull, and I have an inkling that they may have the best chassis on the track now. They've really now the chassis and the motor is working very well. And this was a track where Mercedes should have dominated.
Yeah, Mercedes or Ferrari. But I have to agree with him. Without the problem, this would have been a Ferrari 1-2 easily. And when we say Ferrari 1-2 or second, third, we know who the leading driver will be.
Exactly. We know who the second banana is.
Exactly. A slippery finish banana.
Exactly.
But LCH in the closing stages of the race, there was a lot of chatter by the NBC Sports commentators. And I had to agree with them that Seb will not only make the podium, but may finish ahead of Lewis. And given the rapid pace of Vettel, in which he also broke Montoya's track record set in the Williams BMW days, it was looking very exciting that once Seb sailed past Denny Boy, he will go after Lewis. It reminded me of Schumacher looking for DC at Spa. But as we had discussed, when the championship was very tight, it will not be a surprise if the Red Bulls became the deciding factor in this year's championship. And with few races remaining, 5, it's really looking that Red Bull may do the damage for one of the drivers. In Malaysia, they helped both Lewis and Seb. Max prevented another Lewis win, and at the same time, Ricardo was in no mood to play Misty for Vettel. This allowed LCH to add another 6 points towards his possible 4th championship. And you know, the amazing thing is, since the summer break, Lewis has finished ahead of Sebastian in every race. And if he can add some more points, regardless of where he finishes, but if he's ahead of Sebastian in Suzuka also, then I think I'd like to borrow a phrase from a movie, dishes are done for Sebastian and Maurizio Arrivabene.
I agree. I think these two foul-ups are just going to hit them really hard at the end of the season when they realize that Lewis Hamilton is raising the trophy and they're not. And I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, can Ferrari, I mean, it's so close to the end of the season, it'd be silly to start rolling heads now. But once again, Ferrari, if they don't finish or win the next few Grand Prix, it's done.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you know, Raikkonen has to finish second to Seb. Otherwise, if Lewis is finishing. The thing is, you know, I don't think between Lewis and Seb that one of them will win all the races. On paper, it's possible. But it's, you know, may not happen courtesy of Max and Danny Boy, and you know, LCH is not going to roll over and play dead for these people anyway. But the pace of Sebastian's Ferrari must be a concern to Lewis and Mercedes, and there's a lot of coverage on what Toto is saying in the on the web. And you know, we have another race coming this weekend at Suzuka. Hopefully we will get to see a battle royale between the two top dogs, while Bottas and Kimi will provide the usual pony show.
Yes, and let's not forget the weird incident at the end of the race between Vettel and the Williams driver.
Lance Stroll. Yeah, that was bizarre. That was very, very bizarre. I don't know if something has gotten into Seb's head. He's getting desperate or whatever. I'm not saying it was his fault. But at the same time, I'm not saying it was Lance's fault. But when you have somebody getting into his whole world championship has turned upside down. I mean, it was like a done deal that after Singapore, Sebastian Vettel will have the lead in the championship.
Yeah.
And he should be at least another 8 or 10 points ahead now. He's like, what, 34 points behind and slipping even more and more day by day?
Yes. No, and the incident after the Grand Prix sort of, that was the cherry on the disaster for me. I mean, talk about strangeness. I mean, Lance Stroll was doing what everybody was doing. He was picking up Clag, as everybody does, and it was just so strange to have this happen to Vettel.
Yeah, it's like strange things happening to Montoya.
Exactly. Very but scary.
I will not be surprised if there is another win or two for Red Bull this year in the remaining five races.
I agree, because now Red Bull seems to have reliability, because they've pushed hard against Renault about reliability, and their chassis is phenomenal. So I, unfortunately, with Ferrari dealing with the spaghetti culture, Red Bull is coming back to where they used to be, a championship-winning team.
Yeah, and it's looking very, very strong, and difficult times for both Seb and Lewis trying to win the championship as soon as possible. But, you know, I have to ask a question. Even though Bottas was fifth in the other Mercedes, his battle with Ricciardo was not only very clean, but also great joy to watch. But, man, what is happening with Valtteri?
Well, I don't know. Maybe there are issues with the Mercedes in terms of drivability. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's very, very strange for this to be happening now. But like I said, this track should have suited Ferrari so well. But now we go to Suzuka. This could be another Red Bull track unless Ferrari really turns it around and everything. Ferrari needs to lock out the front row and win in Suzuka to get everything back in order.
Well, they need that, and they need somebody to torpedo Lewis.
They do need some kind of torpedo. You're right.
Maybe, you know, the guy who could be up for the job is Kevin Magnussen. He's making waves anyway.
He is. He is indeed.
Yeah, but you know, the tough hombre of the race in Sepang was Sergio Perez. He was battling a virus during the weekend, and he soldiered on to finish second. That was a very impressive hanging in there, you know.
That's true. He had to have an IV and an IV drip to keep his electrolytes, I suppose, up to spec. But yeah, I mean, we're talking Malaysia, the 100% humidity, it's brutal, and it's really tough on all these drivers. But Perez did a great job at the start, did knock wheels with Ocon, so the tradition continues.
Oh yes, Ocon complaining. But I have to say, man, I mean, what's up with Romain Grosjean? He is like the official, you know, I'm going to be in mourn every race about something.
He's always whining and moaning, and it's sad, but every time, and the problem is now we don't even take him seriously.
That's true, very true. First it was all about brakes, and then he was told by team to, you know, find something else, and now he finds K-Mag or Pierre Gasly or whoever comes in his way. But, you know, I think it's been in a while that both McLaren Hondas appear to be in the same race as other teams. And Stoffel went on claiming his, equaling his career best finish, 7th. He looked pretty impressive.
No, I thought the McLarens looked great. They looked competitive for a mid-pack team. I mean, I sort of started laughing. I mean, what if Honda all of a sudden starts looking really competitive in Suzuka?
Yeah, the home of GP2 engine.
Bravo.
No, what will be really interesting, you know, if they come on very, very strong, maybe get a podium in Abu Dhabi, then they're going to be saying, what the hell did we do?
But that's always the story, you know. And we were all, everybody's thinking about it, but it's done. It's done. They'll make Toro Rosso look good. That's going to be an interesting dynamic for 2018.
Yeah, and you know, Dietrich Mateschitz, the boss man at Red Bull, has been trying to unload Toro Rosso for a while. Who knows, if the Honda package comes along strong, that Honda may once again buy a team and see what happens.
I don't know.
And Lance Stroll had another point-scoring finish despite clashing with Seb. He was 8th. But, you know, he and Max have a habit of contacting other cars. But crashing after the race requires special talent. And I was thinking that when that happened, first they thought it was before they crossed the line, but then they said, you know, after they took the flag. But Lance is lucky that Ralph Nader is not a Formula One fan, and I'm sure you know what's coming. Otherwise, he would have labeled Lance as unsafe at any speed.
Wow. Bringing Corvair back.
There you go. And Massa was ninth, and the final championship point was collected by Esteban Ocon. And Massa is now saying that some people in the team want him and some people want him out. So let's see how much money Frank and Claire Williams can suck in from whoever is bringing some dough. But I really would like to see, you know, they have a young whippersnapper in Lance Stroll. The guy is scoring points now. He is quick. There's no question about it. I would like to see them give somebody a chance, you know, and out. Oliver Rowland, or, you know, I've always been a big fan, like I've been of Vettel and, I mean, this guy, Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean, people who've never had a chance to be in a good team. I would love to see somebody give this Canadian kid, Robert Wakens. You know, he beat Jean-Éric Vannes in World Series by Renault. He was very strong in GP3 against Esteban Gutierrez. I would like somebody who has not been given a chance to be given a chance and see what they can do. What's your take on this, like Pierre Gasly situation?
Yes, no, I'm glad Pierre Gasly got the opportunity. He proved himself. I mean, Grosjean was not happy with Pierre Gasly, but who cares? I am stunned that Williams said that they're going to test Paul Di Resta and Robert Kubica instead of going for something like a young whippersnapper.
Yeah, but you know, Haas F1 might be half a million or something like that, Richard, courtesy of Romain Grosjean. You know, he hit the drain at the track during practice or qualifying or whatever, you know, the pre-race festivity was. And now the team is basically asking the track to pay for the damage. Which, you know, like Gunther Steiner said, well, they have insurance and there was nothing they could do, so it's their fault. So let's see what happens.
But what did you hear what Alonso said about the Haas hitting the manhole cover?
Tell me.
He said karma.
Oh, yes. That's his favorite word now. I thought it was reserved for Julian Palmer.
So, yes.
You know, the amazing thing about that comment was, here is, I understand the situation he's in with the Honda package, but here is one of the all-time greats, the man, the only man who could dethrone Red Baron, Michael Schumacher, in the race, he's missing and asking the team, where is Palmer? I mean, I can understand if he was asking where is Lewis or Ricciardo or Max. But
when you're driving a Honda, you meet the nicest people.
Yeah. Amazing.
Absolutely amazing. But still a fantastic race. I bet you even Flavio Briatore watched this one.
No, this was a very exciting race, and it was like basically Ferrari created their own problem, and Lewis Hamilton got shut out by a teenager who had just become 20-year-old. That was very impressive, I have to say.
It was very impressive. Now, the only thing I have concerns with is we only have a week to Suzuka after Malaysia. Does Ferrari have time to sort out the problems? There's also damage to Sebastian Vettel's car after the Grand Prix. They say that his gearbox is good, but they could be wrong. There could be more problems, there could be more penalties, and we may not even see a Ferrari anywhere near the front of the grid.
Yeah, the talk is that the heavy damage also damaged the gearbox, and what I've read is that they have no choice but most probably to change the gearbox, which would bring a 5-grid-place penalty, which is not what we want. If that happens, then I'm pretty sure Lewis, if he finishes the race, he will finish ahead of Sebastian Vettel. And the thing is, you know, right now, the doo-doo Bottas finds himself in, he really has no choice. That he's not going to beat Lewis Hamilton in the remaining 5 races. But maybe he can help him win the championship and get on the good side of Toto and Nicky.
I think the other side of the coin is LCH is disappointed that the season's going to end with an easy win of the world championship instead of fighting with Sebastian Vettel all the way to the end.
Yeah, but that's good corporate PR talk. Let me tell you, anybody, especially the Lewis knows how good Sebastian is, and Sebastian for sure knows how good Lewis is. And as much as they would do the talk, oh, I wanted to see the last race you can have any issue, you know, any 3 seconds delay in the pit stop can cost you the world championship. So I think deep inside, these youths would like to wrap up the championship and stick it to the other guy ASAP.
Huh. So in other words, a W is a W.
Exactly, which stands for winner.
Yes. So I guess you're right. You know, they, you know, the corporate talk is nice. The sportsman, the good sportsmanship talk is nice. But in the end, they're giggling and snickering.
Yeah, it's all this talk about drivers, you know, we're a team and all that. That, you know, that I have seen from very close quarters how much there, I will not use the word hatred, but how much dislike there has been in so many cases where I was able to talk to at least one of the drivers and some people on the team. And that, you know, team members are like that. You remember when Nando was having issues with McLaren in 2007, how people who were in support of him within the team were very much wanted to see him win. So you're going to always have people pushing for their man or for their agenda. And who can blame them, you know?
But I know one thing. If Ferrari, I mean, Ferrari really were having a great season until the last few races. Sebastian Vettel could smell the victory and that world championship. He wants it so bad. And to have it begin to slip away because it looks like, I mean, they're just breaking under pressure. And so they've lost reliability. And I mean, in this incident after the race with Sebastian Vettel, it's getting, I mean, it's not only sad, but it is a little bit bizarre. And the head of Ferrari, to watch this slip away is going to freak him out. I mean, I don't know if he's breaking TVs like we heard in the past with
Luca
Montezemolo. Yes, the television breakage was fine, but this is far worse. They were so close, and now they're watching it slip away, and the Tifosi is going to freak out, and the post season in Italy is going to be brutal.
Yeah, but you know, I have to say, Sebastian, you know, after the Singapore Grand Prix, I was watching one of these on YouTube, you know, race review and all that, and there was this very seasoned F1 journalist, and he made a very interesting comment. And again, I don't know what was in Sebastian Vettel's head, but this guy said that Sebastian has had issues with Max, like most drivers. And he also knows how good Max is from the Brazilian Grand Prix of last year in the rain. So his mindset was, whatever happens at the start, Max Verstappen is not getting ahead of me at the first corner. And that's, he basically created his own problem. That's all, I mean, all he had to do is, you know, if he was third behind Max and Raikkonen, somehow magically at the end, Raikkonen was going to finish behind him. We've seen this movie a few times already. So I think he's really created his own problem, but he's the guy, you know, he can go to 2 or 3 straight wins, and if Lewis hits any kablamo and blow dirt, then we can have a real junkyard fight in the Yas Marina.
I agree, and I think you're right. Max has gotten under Vettel's skin, and it's going to be interesting because as the Renault package develops towards the end of the season, Max is going to be up front in this fight.
Yeah, and there are already some reports saying that, you know, because both Ricciardo and Max, first up in their contract will end at the end of next year with Red Bull. And there's already a news item in one of the websites saying that Max will cost Ferrari or Mercedes $25 million. I do not think, because Seb has now signed a long-term contract with Ferrari, I do not think they will bring Max there because, you know, it's going to be like McLaren 2007. So I have a very strong feeling that Max will end up at Mercedes.
And I agree with you. Ferrari are very smart when it comes to a 1 and a 2, and they like to keep it that way because they stay away from controversy. That's why we have Eddie Irvine and Rubinho.
Oh, yes. And if you need a reserve driver, you bring in Luca Badoer. and how brutal the racing media is. When he did those two, a race or two with Ferrari, and the media was calling him Luca Bedoel, look how bad you are.
Bravo, Fisico. So, fantastic, Nas. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with MM.
Thinking of a career in Formula One? Already have a motorsports job, but thinking about jumping into F1? Our team at Motorsports Career Advisor recently finalized the results of our interviews with several top motorsports recruiters and has compiled them into our 2017 Motorsports Resource Guide called The Number One Recruiter-Tested Method to Landing the Interview for Your Dream Job in F1. If you've heard our radio spots before, maybe you don't know that up to 1,000 action-oriented motorsports enthusiasts contact us every month to get our guides. But it was our motorsports recruiter partners that challenged us to go even further. And here's what they convinced us to do. For a limited time, we're giving away a pre-release sample of our 2017 resource guide, The Number One Recruiter-Tested Method to Landing the Interview for Your Dream Job in F1. Get yours now at F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com. F1 is extremely competitive. Be the first to see the guide and jump ahead of your job competition. Go to F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com now for the 2017 pre-released before the countdown expires, and you'll get a sneak peek at a guide that others will soon pay to receive. That's F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com.
And now, Pegler's Perspective.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Pegler's Perspective. Last time I shared with you my view on Monisha Kaltenborn and Claire Williams, and hope that you enjoyed listening to my thoughts on those two ladies of Formula 1. In this episode, I'd like to take a look at Honda's involvement in Formula 1, and in order to do that, we should go back all the way to the 1960s. Honda's first appearance in Formula One came as the Honda R&D company at the 1964 German Grand Prix. The fact that Honda had constructed not only an engine for Grand Prix racing, but also their own chassis, which was something that only BRM and Ferrari had done, took everyone by great surprise. The car, named the RA271, which was a successor to Honda's 1963 prototype, competed in 3 Grand Prix in 1964. The following year, the team reached the top step of the podium when Richie Ginther drove the 272 to victory in the season-ending Mexican Grand Prix. Gunther and Bucknum were retained for 1966, driving the all-new 273, before the team entered just a single entry for John Surtees in 1967. Towards the end of the year, Honda entered the Eric Broadley designed RA300, which won on its debut at the Italian Grand Prix in Monza. In 1968, Honda again retained Surtees, with David Hobbs joining as teammate for one race, and they also drafted in driver Joe Schlesser to drive the new RA302 in the French Grand Prix, which Surtees had refused to drive, believing the car to be unsafe. Tragically, in his only start for Honda, Schlesser was killed when the car hit a grass embankment, overturned and burst into flames. The fire was believed to have been greatly enhanced due to the high content of magnesium in the chassis, and as a result, Schlesser burned to death. This tragic accident led to the withdrawal of Honda's participation in Formula One as a constructor for almost 40 years. Honda returned to Formula One as an engine supplier in 1983 with Spirit Racing. The following year, the Japanese company teamed with Williams and its drivers Keke Rosberg and Jacques Lafitte, and again in 1985 with Rosberg and Nigel Mansell. Following Rosberg's retirement at the end of the year, Williams signed Nelson Piquet to replace him, and alongside Mansell, the duo fought for both the 1986 and 87 championships. Each season produced some epic battles, highlighted by Mansell's title-losing tyre blowout in Adelaide in 1986, and his incredible and improbable overtake of Piquet into Stowe Corner at Silverstone, and then his neck-breaking accident in Japan in 1987. The 86 title went to Prost in the inferior McLaren Porsche, but the 1987 title went to Piquet, and remains Honda's only drivers' and constructors' titles with Williams. For 87 and 88, Honda also supplied Lotus with engines, and in 88 began its five-year association with McLaren. McLaren-Honda's partnership reigned supreme, with Ayrton Senna taking the driver's title three times in 88, 90 and 91, and Alain Prost in 1989. McLaren-Honda won four straight Drivers' and Constructors' Championships, and adding to those that Piquet won with Lotus, they won an impressive five straight Drivers' and Constructors' Championships. However, by the end of 1992, Honda had made the decision to withdraw from Formula One, having won 71 Grand Prix. 69 of those had been as an engine supplier. Honda as a team garnered the first two victories, followed by Williams with 23 wins from 75 races, Lotus with two wins from 32 races, and of course McLaren, who gave the Japanese engine mark an incredible 44 wins from 80 starts with the team. Honda remained involved in the background behind Mugen Motorsports, a company founded by Hiroshi Honda, who was the son of Honda founder Soichiro Honda and Masayu Kumura. Mugen Honda initially supplied Tyrrell in 1991, before partnering with Footwork in 92 and 93, then Lotus in 94, then Liger in both 95 and 96, which was to become Prost Grand Prix in 97, and finally Jordan Grand Prix from 1998 to 2000. The Mugen Honda alliance garnered four Grand Prix victory in total, the first of which was by Frenchman Olivier Panis in the 1996 Monaco Grand Prix, followed by Damon Hill in the 1998 Belgian Grand Prix, and finally Heinz Harald Frentzen, who won both the 1999 French and Italian Grand Prix. Honda would return yet again in 2000 as an engine supplier to British American Racing and continue to supply Jordan Grand Prix for two further seasons. Honda purchased British American Racing at the end of 2005 and returned as a full constructor in 2006. Despite the mass infusion of capital, the team achieved only a single Grand Prix victory, the Hungarian Grand Prix of 2006, before withdrawing from the sport and selling out to then team principal Ross Brawn. But Brawn knew what the team had created. And with that knowledge, he took the Honda-designed RA109 car, originally intended as Honda's entry for 2009, and partnered with Mercedes as engine supplier, and went on to win both the Drivers' Championship with Jenson Button and the Constructors' Championship with Jenson and Rubens Barrichello. It was a dramatic twist of irony that perhaps what might have been Honda's best chance at a Drivers' and Constructors' Championship as a complete team was actually sold off before the season ever got underway. Honda's latest chapter in Formula One has not been without drama. Midway through 2014, McLaren announced the signing of two-time Formula One champion Fernando Alonso and a long-awaited partnership with Honda as engine supplier once again. Despite the initial positive sounds coming out of both camps, the resurrection of the McLaren-Honda partnership has actually failed to recapture any of the success of the late 80s and early 90s. After three barren seasons where mere points have been few and far between, Honda has now been jettisoned by McLaren and allied with Red Bull's junior squad, Scuderia Toro Rosso. Sauber has recently cancelled its 2018 agreement with Honda and has elected instead to continue on with Ferrari Power. The possibility of an Aston Martin Red Bull Honda team in 2019 is looking ever more likely. More on that soon, perhaps. You know, looking back, it's indeed strange that a marque as successful as Honda has repeatedly failed to achieve any sustained success in Formula One. The company that is largely responsible for the advancement in the everyday road car in the late 80s and early 90s seemingly just cannot coordinate its vast resources with its skilled technical personnel. Much like Toyota's F1 effort, Honda seems to be perpetually a half step out of sync with the sport's front-running teams, and so perhaps what may be primarily a cultural issue in the way that Honda operates as a company is what is needing to change if they are to achieve the success they so desire. When we think about the great iconic partnerships in Formula One, we immediately think of McLaren Honda and Williams Renault. The McLaren-Honda marriage ran for 5 years, and now another three, while the Williams-Renault partnership ran for 9 years and then another two. Both of these reunifications have so far failed to recapture past magic, and so one might conclude that perhaps it's a mistake to go back, and better to look forwards. We now know that McLaren will be on the grid in 2018 with Renault Power, and very likely Fernando Alonso will return to partner driver Stoffel Vandoorne. There are 11th hour signs of progress from Honda, but the run to the finish of this season will be nothing short of critical if they are to come out of the box next year and be competitive with the sport's front-running teams. Should they fail to progress from where they are today, surely the ramifications for the company will be felt far beyond the confines of Formula One.
Thank you, Philip, for another outstanding perspective. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. IndyCar season is over, and we're going to talk a little bit more Formula One, as there was no MotoGP, which I also enjoy very much. So we're going to start with who else but Fernando Alonso. According to him, the score is 19-1 against K-Mag. The 2005-06 world champion was not happy with the Great Dane's racecraft, even saying on the radio during the race, which was another classic, Hülkenberg was right. Nando lost some places earlier in the race after the Williams drivers played trading paint with each other. I think we have some more cute ones coming from Alonso before this dark era is over.
Well, you know, we need some of these comments. I mean, we're not getting too much leave me alone, I know what I'm doing from Kimi. So these are all great bloopers for the future.
Yes, karma was very classic, I have to say.
Bravo.
Okay, Bottas feeling the blues. Man who has taken two wins so far this season is facing, in his own words, the most difficult time of his career. Before the summer break, he was looking at challenging then-championship leader Seb and also teammate LCH for the title. Now, after the race in Malaysia, he is 59 points behind LCH. At F1 Weekly, we have followed Bottas' career from his Formula Renault Euro Cup days when he won the championship, I think, by a point or two over Daniel Ricciardo, and we would like to see him get on a winning streak again soon. The last thing we want to see is Bottas become the Fisico of Finlandia, which I have a feeling with the way Max is going, and Bottas is thinking that might happen.
I agree. Max, I mean, he's the one right now. He's the child, the idiot savant, or whatever you want to call him. But he's impressing everybody. And Bottas, hey, when your teammate is Lewis Hamilton, life is not going to be easy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's for sure. And, you know, we've seen drivers come and drive a new car or switch teams. What Max did last year in Spain, yes, he was beneficiary of Nico and Lewis crashing into each other, but to win in your first drive with a new team during the season, I think that spoke of his talent, you know, that's for sure. And, you know, winning 10 races in European Formula 3 in your first and only racing full season, I mean, that really speaks very well. And this was not like he won the Paraguayan Formula 3 championship or the Bhutan Formula 3 championship. This was full-blown FIA-supported Formula 3 championship. So, and you know, I saw him race. Obviously, I followed his career for a while. Even in karting, he was making a name because of his last name. And then I saw him and Lance Stroll in Vegas. And I was convinced that, you know, both these guys are very quick. So it's good to see talent come to fruition, and hopefully both will have a lot of success. I would love to see Max Verstappen become the youngest. What I'm excited about. Have you seen the hoopla that's going on with Max winning in Netherlands?
No.
Oh boy, these people! You can see some of the stuff on with the sports people on the YouTube. I mean, they are going like super gaga, and who can blame them?
Who can blame them? I mean, I think this could actually move Formula One into a Grand Prix back in Holland.
Yeah, I will not be surprised if they do a street race in Rotterdam, because they do this Rizla Racing Days. I believe it's done in Rotterdam, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they can do a Formula One race at Zandvoort as it is right now. But a street race in Amsterdam or Rotterdam will be fantastic.
Oh, yes, that would. Yeah, Zandvoort needs a lot of money.
Money and safety. I don't think it will cut on safety grounds there.
Correct.
But a street race in Amsterdam, I think, will be fantastic. By the canals and all that. That would be beautiful.
That would be great.
Yes, sir. Okay, Pierre Gasly, your homeboy, the non-drinking debutant, the new Red Bull racer in F1, had a drink bottle that was not working properly. According to him, the water was going all over his face and not in his mouth, but overall it was a day that he will not forget. Gasly started 15th and finished 14th. He will also race at Suzuka, and no word at this time if he will try to win the Japanese Super Formula Championship or race in Austin, as both are on the same week. And I met him briefly last year at Austin. A nice young kid, and obviously, hopefully, he has a good future ahead of him. Your thoughts on Gasly surviving the first race, and what do you think, how it looks for him down the road?
You know, I think he did well. He didn't crash. He didn't make any dumb mistakes. He pissed Grosjean off, which actually is a positive. So I think, you know, I don't wish any ill will towards Kvyat, but what can we do?
Yes. Okay, now we come to Miss Podium for the junior Pink Panther. Esteban Ocon has made no secret of his desire and goal for this season, that is to get on the podium. At Sepang, he had a very good chance with both Ferraris out of his way. He qualified on the third row. He had to make a pit stop after making contact with Massa on the opening lap. Then he had a second tangle with another car, this time with the Toro Rosso of Carlos Sainz Jr. We talked about Senor Sergio Marchionne earlier. He is, to me, the Sergio Leone of motorsports. He is not happy about watching the good, bad, and the ugly way the Scuderia Ferrari season is going since Spa. According to him, changes are being made to the team and also to the quality control department. Apparently, the problem with both Ferraris and Malaysia was the passage of air, you know, the part that takes the air to the turbocharger. There was some quality control issues there. Ferrari driver won the opening race of the season and led the championship going into the summer break. Since then, their love child, the Supreme, said, is not only winless but 34 points behind LCH with only 5 races remaining, and the team is now 118 points behind the Silver Arrows. So they're not going to win the Constructors' Championship, that's for sure. The way things are going, I will not be surprised if Maurizio Arrivabene's CV is posted on Monster.com by the season finale next month. What say you?
I agree. Not only as the first part of the season, the first half of the season was great, but the second half, after there were some problems and, you know, the banging wheels of Sebastian Vettel behind the safety car with LCH, and it seemed to have just snowballed and gotten completely out of control after that.
Yes, and I want to get your opinion on this. You know, there is this FIA technical head of the technical committee or something, Mr. Martin Butkowski, and he had information on all the team's packages and all the changes they were doing and all that kind of stuff. Now, he has resigned from FIA and is on a 3-month gardening leave, and the speculation is very strong that he's going to Renault, and other teams apart from Renault are not very happy that he should have been given a 1-year gardening leave. And according to Cyril Abitbol, of the managing director of Renault F1 program, when asked, he said, well, we are not in Formula One to make friends. Your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, I think that's a very good point. I think legally they have him. And everybody might not be happy about it, but too bad. This is not children's games. This is racing.
Well, you know, the final Grand Prix weekend in Malaysia is now history, but the weekend also made history. There was, you know, the Romain Grosjean crash after the drain cover incident. It delayed some of the other festivities on the track. So there were 2 races scheduled after that. For the South Asia FIA Formula 4 Championship, and because of time constraint, both of them were run back to back, and it's one team that operates all the cars, and they thought they had enough fuel for all the cars to finish second race also, But I think it was like an 8-lap race, and starting with the 5th and 6th lap, cars started dropping out and slowing and stopping. And before the final lap was over, there was no car running. So they brought out the safety car, and that finished the final lap. So history has been made in Malaysia in more than one way, both in Formula 1 and Formula 4. Have you heard of a race where no cars were running at the end?
No.
Now we have another first.
Yeah, these things happen, Nasser. But it's sort of ironic because one of the main sponsors at the track is Petronas.
Oh, yes, the state oil company.
So, bizarro land.
Oh, there is more trouble for both owners of Force India. Just I saw this on Joe Sayward's blog that Vijay Mallya was taken into custody in England. What is happening here? He cannot leave England because the Indian government has cancelled his passport. So, and they're trying to extradite him back to India. So let's see how that thing plays out. Apparently, there is interest both by the, you know, the owners and some people to buy the team. But apparently, Dr. Vijay Mallya and his, if I may use the term, partner in crime, Mr. Roy Sahara, Subrata Sahara, hence the name Sahara on the side of the car, that they are holding out for top dollars, which they may not get. But I would hate to see this team run into the same problem as Caterham or, you know, Lotus and HRT and what else that came in the last few years.
I don't think they're going to be an HRT. This is a great team, formerly Jordan. They're based at Silverstone, which is a great base. They're doing well. They're scoring points. I think this team has value, and they would find interested buyers pretty easily.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I don't think Formula One will let this thing collapse. The team has done a tremendous job with what they have.
I agree. I mean, the team has done phenomenal for such a small budget and having refugees as owners. So it's interesting, but I think Vijay is going to hold on as tightly as he possibly can. But I like you said, Liberty's not going to let them fall. We'll see what happens. But, boy, the show in Austin is going to be great. I'm really glad you're going. You know, Justin Timberlake is going to be there.
Stevie Wonder will be there. And, you know, I would like to thank Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo, the gentleman who supplies me photos for my calendar. Courtesy of him, Moi has been granted media credentials. So that's fantastic.
I can't do it all the time, Ness.
I know you've done more than enough, and I cannot even thank you enough for all those long checks, you know.
Exactly. That pays the bills, Nass.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to Suzuka. Any snidely comments from Fernando this weekend?
Well, I don't. I hope not. You know, it's. I think that they're going to go separate ways, go out in a classy way. Let's not do a... Do you remember when he signed the contract to get out of with McLaren, what happened? Apparently, he flew in his private jet, and the McLaren lawyers came in their private jet, and he would not get out of his jet. So they had to bring papers and take back and negotiate that way on the tarmac. So let's hope it does not get down and dirty 10 years after, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but I'm sure everything's going to be fine. Your predictions for Suzuka?
I think we're going to see both Seb and Lewis Hamilton on the podium. In which order, I don't know. And I think we might see another Red Bull also. Which one? I don't know. Max has won a race, so I think it's time for him to go argy-bargy at the start with somebody now.
Well, this track is owned by Honda, and I predict Fernando on the podium.
Really? Wow. Well, you know, once upon a time, him and Jenson Button were on the podium. Do you remember that event?
I do. That was good.
I don't know if it was Spa, but they both, just for fun, you know, walk to the podium and to see reminisce how it used to be in days gone by.
It was a loving embrace.
Yes. Misery loves company.
It does indeed, Nas. Keep up the good work. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
risk his neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Well, we can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.